Our scripture lesson this morning is from Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. That is a change from what's printed in your bulletin. Galatians 4, 1 through 7. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his sons into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God.
Let me pause here for prayer before we go forward. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are the one that has set the standard and the example and given the grace to become your children through Jesus. Lord, so we just call on you this morning to teach us what it means to be fathers and sons and daughters in a way that bring you glory. We just pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, you've covered a lot of ground and given a lot of good examples of what a father can be and possibly should be and has been in your life. And so one description I found that describes what a father is goes this way. A father is that constant in your life, always with you, even when he's not to be seen. He has been the rock that you depend on. He is solid. He is strong. He may be your hero, and you may look up to him like no other. His unconditional love touches your heart with an indescribable warmth. You strive to please him, not to disappoint. His compliments are honest, never bestowed without truth. You feel his protection, surrounding you like a warm hug on a chilly day. He's called by many names, Father, Papa, Dad, Daddy, each spoken with love and respect. He is your father. And hearing that, I feel the weight of that as a dad. I don't know that I qualify with all of that, but I appreciate that image of what father should be. Once again, I recognize in the real world, many fathers have shrugged off the true title for a false one at times. And sometimes that false title may be labeled CEO or district supervisor or regional manager or doctor or lawyer or teacher or president and yes, even pastor. Sometimes we can elevate those titles to a place they should not be. Though at the end of the day, we all know that there's no greater title to be worn with dignity and pride than that of father in this life. Well-known basketball coach Jim Valvano said of his father, "My father gave me the greatest gift any person could give to another. He believed in me." Another grateful son, Clarence Keeland, recognized the power in doing what you say you will do when he states this. My father did not tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. And finally, one of my favorites by a man named Harmon Killebrew has stated, "My father used to play with my brother and me in the yard, and mother would come out and say, 'You're tearing up the grass.' And I would say, 'We're not raising grass, we're raising boys.'" I like that image. With that in mind, what would be the difference between father and dad? One author unknown penned this poem that reflects similar thoughts that were of the father described above, but take it a little bit deeper to consider what the word dad means. A dad is a person who is loving and kind, and often he knows what you have on your mind. He's someone who listens, suggests, and defends. A dad can be one of your very best friends. He's proud of your triumphs, but when things go wrong, a dad can be patient and helpful and strong. In all that you do, a dad's love plays a part. There's always a place for him deep in your heart. And each year that passes, you're even more glad, more grateful and proud just to call him Dad. Thank you, Dad, for listening and caring, for giving and sharing, but especially for just being you. Happy Father's Day. Which raises a question, what makes a dad? Well, I found another poetic thought that once again seems a little hard to shoulder as a dad, but I really like the image and I appreciate the intent. This one goes like this: God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, his wisdom of the ages, the power of the eagle's flight, the joy of a morning in spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of a family need. And then God combined all these qualities when there was nothing more to add. He knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad. Once again, I don't know that I'll ever live up to that image, but I really appreciate that when we think in terms of the fatherhood of our God. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, we find Jesus, our Lord, pleading and crying in a garden. We know this image, and this time of the year might seem not the appropriate time to talk of Scripture where Jesus is preparing to go to the cross, but I think in terms of father and son relationship, it's absolutely perfect. It's the most intimate terms that he uses of the Father of Fathers, the one that was so intimate with him that he could plead, Abba, Daddy, help me, please. In that moment, there was no greater tie between son and father that has ever been illustrated or witnessed. If you are not familiar with the term Abba, it's Aramaic for a more intimate form of father. In fact, one commentary gave an example of a child in a doctor's office looking up at his father as the child was getting a shot with pleading eyes saying, Daddy, please make it stop. Obviously, this falls short of the anguish that our Lord experienced in the garden so long ago, but the plea of a child, no matter the circumstances, should always touch the heart of a father. And so in Jesus, we see the Son, who is a child, crying out to the Father, who is always faithful, present, and dependable. We as human fathers have not always been that way, it's safe to say. And so Jesus is crying out in this garden, crying out to the Father, making this connection. And the Apostle Paul gives two other instances where this idea of God being Abba Father are presented. In his letter to the churches, to the church at Rome and the church in Galatia, Paul says these words: Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit that calls out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship and daughtership, if you will. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Paul makes a connection here with Jesus' words in the garden to the early church's plead, to your plead, to my plead, to our need today. Church, we need dads who will stand up, take the reins, and be courageous, godly leaders for the family that God has given them. I praise God for those who strive to give that example and achieve that godly goal. And yes, today, I will also say again, there is forgiveness and healing for those dads who have fallen short of the mark, for the ones who have not taken up their responsibility and recognize their frailty and seek to turn and go in a different direction. Because I know in a crowd this size, there are those who have not had the best dad on the block at times. And that's okay, because God can redeem all situations in our lives. Paul's words are a blessed reminder that those who have received the Spirit of God have become royal children. And royal children do not need an appointment to see the King. I like that idea. You and I are royalty in Jesus Christ, whether we feel that or not. And to be royalty, all we have to do is to walk into the throne room, crawl up into the lap of the King and say, Daddy, I love you. I know that there's no greater joy on earth for dads to experience that kind of unconditional love. In fact, at the end of a day, no matter my circumstances, good, bad, or indifferent, when I come home and the door flies open and Daddy is home, it's like I can go, and I got a big S on my chest, and everything else just kind of fades away. There's no greater power to experience. Can you imagine the joy of our Heavenly Father when we seek Him that way? Oh, Father, I need you. Oh, Father, in this moment, I am yours. Oh, Father, not just part of my heart, all of my heart. It was in the garden that Jesus was convicted and convinced of his need to go to his Abba Father. And as we study the scriptures, we realize that this relationship had been nurtured from the very beginning. From John 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." And throughout his earthly ministry, he was continually going to lonely places, but he was never alone. Don't miss that. Jesus intentionally went out to lonely places where he was never alone. Where is your lonely place? Is it an intimate place? Is it a place you can cry, "Daddy, make it stop," and know that you've been heard? I pray so. And you need to come to that place. It was in the garden that Jesus saw the urgency to come before his Heavenly Father. I believe we need today to learn from that example of his knowledge that says, even when my friends fail me, as they were just a few feet away asleep while he was praying, asking them to just stay awake for a few moments and pray with me. Even when my friends fail me, even when my husband fails me, even when my wife walks out on me, even when my earthly mom or dad give up and fail me, I will not give up, for I know the one that's always there. And his name's Jesus, and he's faithful. And Jesus knew that of the Father, always ready to receive me into his presence because what Christ has done in my place at Calvary's Hill. He never leaves. He'll never forsake the one who seeks him. And so we see a child crying out in a garden, "Daddy, if there is any other way, make it stop. Yet not my will, but thy will fully, completely be done." And there was none. There was none. There was no other way because sin required such a price, and it still does to this day. And only Christ could fulfill that price. So he trusted in the will of the Father to give up his own will. This may be the most powerful statement we as earthly fathers can take from Jesus' example today. Simply this: surrender to the Father, for he knows the will we need to follow in all circumstances. There are some days when Kevin wants to do God's will and, "Lord, I'll do this if..." Or, "Lord, I'll do this and with..." That's negotiating. That's not surrender. "God, I'm yours. Your will is my will." And some days I need to back up and say, "I'm sorry, I'm trying to make it mine again." Some earthly fathers have laid a path of great examples to follow even after they're gone. We heard some of that even today, but one of my favorite songs by Christian artist Phillips Craig and Dean speaks to this idea. It's called "Nothing to Prove." Let me share this with you as a Father's Day gift, if you will, today from them. It goes like this: "You taught me how to ride a bike, tie my shoes and fly a kite, how to swim and how to fish, to see a star and make a wish. You said it's okay to make mistakes, just don't get stuck in yesterday. Forgive, forget, move ahead, because life is what you make of it. Now you're gone and all I have are memories I hold deep. But if I'm quiet, I hear your voice still ringing in my ear, saying, live with no excuses, love with no regrets, laugh a lot and leave this life with nothing left unsaid. Make this world a better place. Don't be afraid to cry. And when it's finally time to say goodbye, nothing to prove, nothing to lose, nothing to hide." You see, life cannot be measured by the place you live, the car you drive. The thing that counts the day you die is who you are and what's inside. So tell the truth, don't ever lie, integrity at any price. Your words, your bond, your highest price. So guard it close and live your life. So many things I learned from you about life and love and play. Catch this, but I learn more about how you live than what I heard you say. That speaks to my heart today. So I live with no excuses. I love with no regrets. I laugh a lot and I leave this life with nothing left unsaid. Make this world a better place. Don't be afraid to cry. And when it's finally time to say goodbye, when it's finally time to say goodbye, there's nothing to prove, nothing to lose, and nothing to hide. Some here today have laid to rest earthly fathers that you still hold dear in your heart. They're no longer here and they've gone on to glory. And I'm reminded from time to time that no matter how strong my love is for my own children, it will never be as the love of their heavenly Father is for them. I can never love them the way that He does. And so I surrender them to Him daily. Someday I will have to leave them behind and go be with my heavenly Father as well as you. And Jesus' lesson in the garden is that there is number one conviction of the need to be intimate with the Father. There is urgency to live out of that intimacy every second of every day that we have, second by second, minute by minute, and day by day, until, as He did, finds ourselves in the presence of God because of the final aspect of His example, and that being trust. Jesus found conviction. Jesus found urgency. Jesus founded trust. I must trust my Heavenly Father beyond any understanding that I come up with on my own. The Proverbs tell us this in 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. Can you see? Can you not see that Jesus, living out of this garden on to Calvary, on to coming back after the third day, on to the promise of coming back for His church someday, was a living out of that relationship intimately with the Father, where He saw that He was convicted not to live His own will, but the will of the Father. And that there was an urgency in that living out. It's not something that we will get to someday, but it's now, in this moment, in this second, in this experience, is where we meet with the Father whenever we offer ourselves to Him. And finally, it's a trust matter. That even though He wasn't clear of every step of the way, and even though in the beginning He cried out, not this, please help me, but not my will, but Thy will. God will call us to that place, and so we trust. Even as the Son of God, He did not want His own will, but rather to follow the will of the One who sent Him. And so if we accept our title today, child of God, if you accept that as your title of the Heavenly Father, we should do no less. These three things we can live out of this week: conviction, urgency, and trust. That we learn from our Lord Jesus' example, the One who made a way for us to come to God as Father, to bring us back to a level of intimacy that was lost in another garden many, many years before this garden where Jesus is found. So today, as we celebrate fathers and childhood and sonship and daughtership, let's live by these qualities. First, conviction. I need you, Daddy. Father, Abba. The One that desires intimacy with His children and not just a religion within His church. Urgency. I need you right now, Lord. Every moment of every day. It's not an every now and then relationship. And then finally, trust. No matter what you say, I trust in you alone. This is where God is drawing His people to, in the power of the Spirit, where we lean not on our own understanding. So what does Abba Father mean to you today? What does that statement say to your spirit from the Holy Spirit today, whenever you think of God as Abba, God as Father? Happy Father's Day to you, dads, as you give and you receive love today and celebrate that with your loved ones and your family. And I would also say happy Father's Day to you, child of God, as you grow in intimacy and grace with the one true Abba, who is our Heavenly Father this day. I can't add any more to that. So all I'll say is, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen, amen, and be blessed to be a blessing this day.